following message is from New Life Gillette series, God Friended Me. This week, Pastor Mike presents part four of this series.
Good morning. I'm Mike. I'm one of the pastors here at New Life, and I'm very excited to be here with you today on this last week of a series that we have called God Friended Me. And this series has been all about how the best relationships in the world are relationships that look like the best relationships with God. As our relationships mature and grow and they get better, they begin to look more and more like a good relationship with God. Next week, we're starting a new series. Anybody know what it is? At the Movies is next week. You're going to come in here. You're not going to recognize this place. There's going to be popcorn all over the place. You're going to step on popcorn in your church. You're going to be like, is this okay? I think it is. They've already decorated downstairs. It looks incredible. It's going to be awesome. You need to be here next week. We've got some phenomenal movies planned. Next week, we're doing a movie that many of you may not have seen, but won a ton of awards this year. All of our movies are from the last year that we're doing this year. The one we're doing this coming week is about a rock climber who does it free solo. And it's a phenomenal movie that if you didn't get to see it, you should come to church because I think we're playing enough of the movie that you're going to get the whole gist of it. It's a really powerful movie and I hope you'll be here for it. But today we're talking about friendship. And I want to talk about two, three word phrases that we all need to know how to say in order to be successful in life. In fact, no society in history has ever been successful or ever has ever thrived without learning how to say these two, three word phrases. The first one is, I'm sorry. Here's the reality, we all screw up. We all do things that we shouldn't have done, and there comes a time when we have to humble ourselves and get to the point where we can say, I'm sorry. Because when we think about Christ, and when we think about the reason why Christ is the best friend the world has ever known, what's the first thing that comes to mind? For me, it's forgiveness. It's this idea that God, despite the fact that I am a sinful, horrible person, has decided to forgive me. And that's what makes our relationship possible. And so if our relationships in this world are going to reflect a good relationship with God, they've got to be relationships that are marked by forgiveness. And the first step in forgiveness is an apology. The first phrase is, I am sorry. The second phrase that we need to learn is, I forgive you. Forgiveness is a two-step process. So today we're going to spend some time talking about both of these phrases. So let's start with I'm sorry. What does I am sorry require of us? First thing it requires of us is a recognition of guilt. You are not sorry unless you feel guilty about what you did, right? And this is assuming you did something wrong and you have reason to be sorry. There are times in our lives when we should say sorry when we're not guilty. Like, just to be the bigger man or bigger woman in the relationship, you're just like, I didn't do anything wrong, but whatever, I'll just say I'm sorry because that's going to get us past this unnecessary disagreement. But we're talking about situations in which somebody was wronged, in which you did something that you should be sorry for. And the first step in being sorry is a recognition that what I did was wrong. I should not have done it. But here's the great news about our faith. We don't stay here very long. We move on past guilt really quickly as Christians. We recognize that what we did was wrong, but we also recognize that we have been given the gift of forgiveness and we're able to give it up. Because when we hold our guilt for too long, it actually begins to weigh us down. It becomes very harmful in our lives. Psalm 38:4 says this, my guilt overwhelms me. The word overwhelms here in the original language is the idea of being buried. I am buried beneath my guilt. It's as if I am in a grave. I am buried beneath my guilt. It overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. The psalmist here is being weighed down by guilt. And when we sin without the necessary step of forgiveness without going to God and giving and feeling guilty and taking our regret to God and asking Him to forgive us, what actually happens is we end up carrying that guilt around us. And that guilt becomes something that is more than just a secondary part of our lives. It actually becomes something that hinders us, that holds us back in life. So to show this today, I want to talk about a different kind of burden. The type of burden that happens when we carry around these sins without giving them over to God. Maybe you said something critical to a coworker, something non-constructive that didn't really help your relationship much, but it wasn't that big of a deal, right? And it would just be more awkward to go to them and tell them about what you said. So you're just like, we're just going to forget it happened. I'll just carry that around. Maybe you have gotten into the habit of leaving the house too late to get to work. So you end up cutting off a lot of people in traffic, and that's just kind of become a habit in the way you drive. But it's not that big of a deal, right? It's just traffic. People just do this. Maybe you've been working too many hours, spending too many hours at work, and so you're spending less and less time with the kids. But you figure eventually you'll make it right, and you'll get out of that habit, and you'll start spending more time with them. But for now, you're just going to carry that weight around you, and the lack of patience, they're just going to have to get over it. Or maybe for you, the burden is a little heavier. Maybe that nighttime drink is turning more into something that's more than just a routine. Maybe it's becoming a habit. Maybe that nighttime drink is something you could stop if you wanted to, you just don't want to. Maybe you're using it to cope. Maybe you're using it to forget some things that you want to forget to avoid pain. Maybe it's even worse. Maybe you could lose your job if your boss found out what you did. Maybe you could your friends would stop wanting to hang out with you if they forgot or if they found out what you did. Or maybe it's like one of the real bad ones, you know. Maybe if your wife found out, it would end your marriage. Maybe if the cops found out, you'd go to prison. So I can't tell anybody, right? I've got to keep these things to myself. I can't deal with those consequences. And as long as I don't tell anybody, I don't have to worry about the consequence, right? I can just carry that around. I'm fine. I can live life like this. Yeah, it's not comfortable. Actually, there's one of them that's really not comfortable. That one right there. We're going to pretend that that's not painful. We just can carry this around in life, right? I can deal with this for a while. I can live life like this. Now, I probably don't have the spring in my step that I had before, and the joy that I was experiencing in life is lessened, and maybe, but think about the consequences if I told people. Think about the consequences if I confessed what I did. Or think about the consequences if I have to quit doing it. And that's easier just to carry this. Is this the joy that's described for us in Scripture that we're supposed to live with? Try to dance carrying this. I can't even stand up straight. In fact, that really annoying one, I'm about to drop this thing. We carry these things. All of us carry something, and it's one thing to carry around a light one, but eventually, those really heavy ones, they make life impossible. The good news is we're Christians, right? We don't have to do this. But it's easier for now to just do it. Psalms 86 later says this, O Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive. Isn't it cool that this is the eternal reality with God? Isn't it cool that this is Old Testament here? This is before the sacrifice of Christ, and we're talking about God's eternal goodness, His eternal forgiveness. This is just who God is. This is His character. So full of unfailing love for all who ask. There's a step. We need a step for forgiveness. What's our step? We got to ask. For all who ask for your help. The good news is that we can take the burden off. Thank the Lord that we got to that part of the message. We can take the burden off and we kind of say, you know what? I'm just gonna be honest here. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna be real painful. I'm just gonna pull off the Band-Aid. Listen to what I did. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about what I did when I was at work talking to that lady and I shouldn't have. Let me tell you what I did with that money that I was supposed to deposit into the bank account. Let me tell you about that time that... And we start to unload these things, and they're painful. I promise you, unloading these things in the moment will be painful. But in the long run, I feel like I'm floating right now. Like, getting these things off your back, that's life-changing. That's freeing. Isn't that how we were called to live? Isn't that what we've been called to? So eventually, we recognize the guilt, and then we take the incredible step of coming and just saying, here's what I did, and I'm sorry, and we ask for forgiveness. We say, here's what I did. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? And there are relationships in our lives that the people are going to have a harder time forgiving. There are people who have not quite learned the value of forgiving others as they've been forgiven. And so they will have a hard time doing this. But for us to unload this guilt, we have to take the hard step of number two, ask for forgiveness. We do it to God. Step one, God, I'm sorry. He says, you're forgiven. Now, then he says something. Every time he tells somebody in Scripture they're forgiven, you know what he does? He says, you're forgiven. Now go and sin no more. Like, stop putting rocks in the bag. Become who you were created to be. God says, give it to me. I will carry the burden of your sin, the ones that you've committed in the past. Now stop adding to it. Paul said to the Ephesians, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom by carrying the rocks himself. He purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, and he forgave our sins. King David, one of the most famous people in human history and in the Bible, was an adulterer. He cheated and he had sex with a woman that was married to somebody else, and then he had the husband of that woman killed to cover it up. King David, aren't you a man after God's own heart? And King David does this, and then afterwards, he is overwhelmed with guilt. Took a few people approaching him and telling him that he should be overwhelmed by his guilt, but eventually he was. And then he wrote these words. He said, create in me a clean heart. Like, I need something new. I need a replacement. I need a heart change. I need a new life. Because I'm weighed down by these rocks. I don't like not having that spring in my step anymore. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Some of us can relate to this sentiment. I don't like where I've gone, Lord. I don't like the steps that I've taken. I don't like the mistakes that I've made. Would you renew me? Would you change my desires? Would you change my heart? David says, I'm sorry for what I've done. Forgive me and then make me new. Change me. Make me who you created me to be. Then he says in verse 12, restore to me the joy, the spring in the step, the dance, the fun. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing then, go and sin no more, make me willing to obey you. And when we can finally let it go, when we can accept God's forgiveness, we can forgive ourselves or accept that he has forgiven us, then we can take the next step. There's a next step after that. We've already gone through a few. The next step, and that's to pay it forward. Then we get to say to other people, I forgive you. I've been forgiven much. So I'm going to forgive, like, relentlessly. This is a Christian. This is what Christians do. This is maturity. This is spiritual growth. Whatever you want to call it, this is becoming who you were created to be. This is sanctification. Being forgiven is salvation, is the first step in salvation. But if I'm going to become who I was created to be, then I've got to pay it forward. I've got to do it too. I've got to forgive you. Actually, forgiving others eventually helps us to learn that we are forgiven. And if we're going to become who we were created to be, to become like Christ, what does it look like to be Christ, be like Christ? It's to be extravagant forgivers. When we learn what Christ was like, we become like him. And Jesus says, people who have been forgiven were meant to be forgivers. And the first thing your mind goes to when you think about forgiving other people, you're like, Mike, that sounds all nice and good, but you don't realize what I've been through. So the first thing that we think about is like, she cheated on me. What are you talking about, forgive? I mean, I can't forgive that. That's too much. I mean, there's too much pain behind that one. My boss, I worked for months, years to earn that promotion. And I earned that promotion, but he gave it to somebody else. My friend who I thought was loyal to me was telling all my friends that I did something that I didn't do, was gossiping about me and spreading rumors about me that weren't true. What do you mean forgive? I can't forgive that. And it just piles on. And the reality is that it's not just those things. If we actually take inventory of our lives, we realize the things that we're having a hard time forgiving are not just those things. There's the time that you were on your way to work and somebody cut you off in traffic and made you miss the light and you're just like, ugh, I hate Gillette drivers. Somebody at Walmart parked in two parking spots. If you can't drive a big truck, don't drive a big truck. You can't see the lines in Wyoming. They're always covered by snow. Your favorite team traded away your favorite player to the Broncos. I can't forgive that. I liked him. Or your friend took the last chip at Fiesta Tequila. And the problem is, this is just as much a burden as the first one we carried, right? Like, it's okay to give up my burden. It's okay. I like the idea of me for being forgiven. I can accept, I can be forgiven for what I did. I can take off that burden. That's appealing. The problem is so many of us then just take the next step to put another burden on our backs. I've been forgiven. I got to let go of that burden. And we forgot to become who we were created to be. We forgot the sanctification that comes after the justification. And we started carrying around a new kind of burden. A burden of anger. I can't forgive some of these things. But the reality is you're never going to be able to forgive the really big things, the really hard things, unless you first learn how to forgive the small things. Because this is how it happens in marriage counseling all the time. We come in, and the thing that is first being talked about in marriage counseling is, he cheated on me. Or he was looking at pornography. Or he was hiding money from me. Or he wasn't actually going where he was going, told me he was going on his business trips. Or those are the things that come out first. And those are the big ones. But what we usually discover as we start digging below the surface, we realize there is a very long habit of not forgiving. That happens long before the big one. And so what we have to tell people to do is start learning how to forgive the daily offenses so that you can learn eventually to forgive the big offense. Because you're never going to get to the big offense if you try to dig past all the other offenses. He never notices when I get a haircut. I work so hard to look so good. And he never notices it. Let it go. Start there. It's going to be hard to forgive the big things, but start with the little things. She left a red pen in her pocket and then washed my clothes. And now my favorite white t-shirt is pink. Let it go. He's been wearing that same ugly gray sweater since college. And I've told him that I'd want him to look good around our friends, but he won't. He just keeps wearing the shirt. Let it go. It's not worth it. She spent $200 at Marshall's. I haven't spent $40 on clothes since we've been married. Let it go. Because eventually we realize that if we're ever going to get rid of all of these burdens, that we need to learn another three-word phrase. Let it go. If your friend gossiped about how their kid is stronger than your kid, I don't know, whatever it is, let it go. If you don't, those little things that frustrate you will build up over time and they will remove your joy. And usually when that joy starts to be removed from a relationship, it looks like this. I'm sorry, I just don't have time to hang out tonight. Or the next night. Or the next night. Or in a marriage. I'm sorry, babe, I'm just too tired for sex. I would love to, but I'm tired. And the things that used to be like driving us together, the hobbies we had in common, the things we enjoyed doing, they don't have as much joy in them anymore because we're carrying around this burden. How could we? This is too hard to enjoy life like this. So don't let little things destroy your relationship. Let them go because they will hurt you more than you even know they will. Nelson Mandela says, holding a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Princess Bride comes to mind. When you fail to forgive, you're not doing what you think you're doing. You're not hurting the person you're mad at. You're weighing yourself down. Paul told the church in Colossae, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility. I've sinned too. I've screwed up too. I've wronged you too. Gentleness and patience, willing to put up with each other's shortcomings. Every time someone hurts you, you have an opportunity. You can seek revenge. You can hold a grudge. But these are also the times that God calls Christians to a higher standard, to something more difficult than what he calls everybody to. Make allowances for each other's faults. Allow them allowances for each other's faults. And forgive anyone who offends you. Anyone? Do you realize what they've done to me? Anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. There are times that Christians are asked to forgive when they have every reason in the world not to. But isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus had every reason in the world not to forgive you. But he did it anyway, while you were still sinning. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. This is the Christian goal. Perfect harmony in relationships. But Mike, that's easy for you to say. The things that he did to me were much bigger than the examples that you have been giving. The problem is, in that line of reasoning, in judging the size of what needs to be forgiven, is that you're not hurting the person that you're carrying a grudge against. You're hurting yourself. We don't forgive solely for the other person. We also forgive for ourselves. Verse 15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart, that peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand how I'm able to forgive, but somehow he's given me that peace. For as members of one body, you were called to live in peace. Another analogy to marriage and to this idea of two people becoming one. And what does it look like for the church to be one body? Yes, there are also big stones. There are times that people have harmed you that are going to require more than just a simple let it go. Let it go is for the little things. We're talking about the big things that are more than just annoyances. And for those times, it's going to take time. It's going to take a long time to forgive. But Jesus says, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Because the reality is, for those people who harm us most, the biggest rocks, they become more than just frustrations. They become enemies. They become people that we want to fight against. When you hear about revenge taken on the news, it's because somebody who was once in a relationship that we cared about each other became an enemy. But what does Jesus tell us to do with our enemies? But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And there are two types of prayer. You can pray for those who persecute you. You can pray, God, strike them down. Punish them. Or you can pray, God, forgive them. And help me forgive them. Because your prayer for others may or may not change them. It may be stubborn and stuck in their ways, but it will always change you. If your spouse cheated on you, guess what? You have biblical reason to divorce him or her. If your spouse cheated on you, Scripture allows for you to divorce that person. But what if? What if you are overcome by peace that you just can't explain? And he's willing to make some changes, and he's willing to reconcile, and he's willing to have some accountability. He's committing to change, and he's repentant. What if you're given the ability to reconcile? And what if your marriage can reflect what it looks like for Christ to forgive his church? What if you're able to say, you know what? I know I have every reason in the world to be mad, but I forgive you. It's going to take some time. It's going to be hard. But because I was able to get all these other ones out of the way, there's a couple left that I want to address. You hurt me. Can we talk about how we can reconcile? And eventually those big things, for those of us who seek reconciliation, can be forgiven. And to those of you who in this room who are in abusive situations, just on a side, can I say, I am not telling you to be relentlessly forgiving in such a way that you allow yourself to continue to be subjected to abuse. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm talking about is this crazy idea that we believe people can change. Isn't that the Christian message? We believe people can change. So when somebody comes to us and says, I'm sorry, I want to change, isn't that like the ultimate of being like Christ to say, all right, let me walk with you through this journey of reconciliation? Because that's what Christ did for us. He forgave us. When we come to him and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Will you help me to become who I was created to be? Now go and sin no more. Watch this.
What had happened is there was a kid huffing aerosol, and he had passed out going, like, the cops told me, like, 30 to maybe as high as 40. And he just veered off and, you know, hit me.
911, where's your emergency?
Right outside of Whitehall. A car just hit a pedestrian and crashed into the parking lot.
Okay. Do you know how badly it was hurt?
No, I can't tell, but it doesn't look good. They hit him going really fast.
Okay. And did they actually hit him on Grand?
Yeah, it was just right at that intersection there where the crosswalk is.
Okay, we can keep coming, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I'm here with Kale McCormick. Kale McCormick has been a New Lifer for two and a half years. And some of you may recognize his last name. He is the husband of our youth pastor and a good friend of mine. And Kale, when I first met you, you told me a story about something that happened to you in college. And I'd love it if you could just tell the church about what happened.
I don't remember anything, but basically what happened is like... I was standing on the sidewalk waiting for, you know, the crosswalk sign. And then all of a sudden this car just plows into me and I go flying into the parking lot. He crashes into the parking lot and, you know, hits a bunch of other cars in there. And one of the crazy things, there's an EMT on the way to night shift to the hospital, saw me get hit. So he was there right away.
And then you go to the local hospital and then they life flight you to
Denver. Yeah. They had to end up flying me there because the seriousness of my injuries, you know, and I was actually in an induced coma.
Yeah.
So for 3 days.
3 days. And you wake up and they tell you.
Yeah, they basically were like, okay, so both of your legs are broke, but the major one was my brain injury. It was bleeding in 4 different spots and I had double vision for like a couple months. But the crazy thing was, is that the doctors from Denver they didn't understand why my brain had stopped bleeding. Because they say they see this thing all the time and their brain just hemorrhages and they either die or they have to do surgery. But they said the stuff from Laramie was different from the stuff from Denver and they showed my parents the scans and were like, we don't know why it stopped bleeding. But, and so I was in Denver for 2 weeks and then I went back to Nebraska for 2 weeks for rehab and I went that like two, three more months with the wheelchair. And then that whole summer from March till August, I did physical therapy, learning how to walk. Kind of early on, I did have this feeling of forgiveness. Like, I feel like, you know, because of Jesus, like I should forgive. Jesus forgives me. I should forgive this guy. God gives you a peace when you're going through something, even if there is sorrow and sadness and maybe some bitterness and stuff, like there's still like something that helps you just get through it. You know?
Yeah.
And I believe that only you can only know that when you do go through something.
Yeah.
But I still kind of had like a little bit of like maybe a little bit of bitterness, like, oh, this guy should serve the max sentence, right? But you know, with visiting him with the jail chaplain in jail and whatnot in Laramie, I was able to kind of just develop sort of a relationship with him.
And you feel like that relationship helped you to slowly start forgiving him, even though you hadn't fully forgiven him before.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, exactly. Like it just, with, you know, developing that relationship, was, you know, I saw him like maybe 5 times throughout that school year. And I was able to kind of eventually see like, you know, his humanity and whatnot. And
yeah. And you were saying he had a hard time forgiving himself as well.
Yeah, he did. He was in jail for a year and I was able to see his good progress with Bible study and stuff. He wasn't a Christian before, but then through that, he kind of started to come into the faith. So
you went to court to argue on his behalf.
Yeah.
The guy that hit you with a car.
Yeah.
He's intoxicated.
And I just saw God working through that whole process of going to court with him because, you know, my mom and I were talking about how we reconciled and we forgive him and his family. And we've, you know, found friendship and whatnot. And we talked about our faith. The guy that hit me was just like, you know, turns around and he's like, you know, he's handcuffed and stuff. He's just like, thank you guys so much. And it was just awesome to see his face. Like, this is what like the power of God can do. You
know? So what would you say to the people who say, yeah, it's easy for you to say and easy for you to forgive because you walk again, you can walk now and you're fine, you're recovered. What about those people who are having a hard time forgiving because they didn't recover as well as you did?
Looking back, I think no matter what situation, like even if I would have been paralyzed, like, or in a wheelchair for the rest of my life, or if he wasn't apologetic, I still feel like the importance of forgiveness is it's for yourself, really. Like, it sets you free. It's better to live life with, you know, relief of, you know, I've forgiven this person, I've let it go, rather than compounding your suffering with bitterness. You know, like, what kind of life would that have been if I was paralyzed, thinking every day, man, I wish I could get back to that kid. I wish I could.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a life, you know.
Why make the situation worse by carrying around the bitterness?
Yeah. Yeah. And just because you forgive them, it doesn't mean you have to go to them and be like, hey, can we be friends now? Like, let me take the burden of reconciling. Like, that's not what forgiveness is. It's giving it up to God and releasing your right to get back at them.
Yeah.
And so reconciliation just comes second. Like, if there is, you know, if they are sorry and whatnot, and there is opportunity, then you can reconcile. Forgiveness is solely for yourself.
So if bitterness is drinking the poison, then forgiveness is taking the medicine. It's the opposite. It's the healing.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good point. I've never actually thought of it that way, but that is totally true, I'd say.
Yeah. Well, Cale, thank you for telling us your story, and thank you for forgiving so that we can all learn how to better do it.
Yeah.
I think it's something that a lot of people wrestle with for a long time, but it's just kind of a slow process. When we sit down and tell the story, it kind of seems like it all happened overnight.
But yeah.
It's a slow process.
It's a slow process. And like, one more thing I just want to add is that, are you going to live life keeping bitter and shaking your fist at God? Or are you going to be like, God, you know, I don't understand this right now, but I'm going to let you work through this situation. Like, that's the main thing I'd kind of learned through this whole process.
God, we thank you for setting an example of forgiveness that we can strive for. God, for those people in this room who are carrying burdens of anger, that you would give them peace that is beyond our ability to understand. That you would give them the courage to release some of that bitterness and that anger. And then, God, I even pray even more aggressive prayer, and I pray that you would help reconcile some of these relationships. That they would go even beyond just forgiveness to the step of actually reconciling and making things new. God, help us to be reflections of who you are. Help us to live like you lived. God, I thank you for how you're working in hearts even right now and making us new in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.